And we're going to be finding out a little bit more about Lazarus as Amanda comes to speak to us.
Hello. Well, we started the service by marching around the church. Well, some of us did. Like the people on Palm Sunday, and there they are. And every year we do this, don't we? We come to church and we remember how the people welcomed Jesus. And they were waving and they were cheering. We do a bit of waving and cheering. And some churches give out little palms. Some people do that. So we're going to remember that this is how Jesus began his last week on earth, before he was crucified. So it's quite an important story. I'm going to look at a little bit of it now. Here's what happened. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the Passover festival heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Praise God! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord." The crowd was really excited to meet Jesus. They had a victory parade for Jesus. And do you know, Ian, who's my husband, he once got invited to a victory parade. He does sort of work in a school, and his choir were invited to a certain football club to be on their open-top bus as they paraded their victory around London. And apparently they were going to win some kind of cup final. What was the song you were going to play, Ian? So that never happened in the end. One booking he never managed to fulfil. But Jesus was treated like a hero. It was like a victory parade. And it's interesting, really, when we looked at this, we thought, why were they all out and all so excited? And the next bit explains that. The people who had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from death had reported what had happened. That was why the crowds met him, because they'd heard that he'd performed that miracle. I thought, well, that is interesting, isn't it? People had come from Bethany very excited. So we're rewinding to the story of Lazarus. I thought what Chris did with that video was quite clever. He rewound it a few days to the big event that people were so excited about. Why were people so excited about this event? And why was it something that divided opinions? Some people at the end of this were very excited for Jesus, but we saw as well some people were plotting against him. I like this picture because Lazarus looks so cold and dopey and so surprised. He's half asleep and Jesus is saying to him, "Wake up." I've got three pictures that artists have done about the resurrection. I don't know anything about art, but there are three pictures I liked. And I've got three challenges for us based on the story of Lazarus. So here's Lazarus and Jesus calling him out. After all, he'd been dead for 4 days, so it's not surprising he wasn't ready when Jesus came to call him out. Okay, I need a volunteer, and the volunteer I need is somebody who's willing to take some orders from me and who thinks they can demonstrate things to the rest. Oh, Josh, is your hand up? No? Oh, I thought he's just waving. Somebody, you know, between the ages of 5 and 10 or 11 who thinks they can come to the front. Oh, wonderful. Come on out. That's wonderful. Thank you. Now, I'm going to give you some orders, and then everyone else, we're going to stand up and we're going to follow. What, it's Talisha, isn't it? What's your name? It is
Tasia.
What Tasia does. Okay, so let's stand up. So we'll see. So I'll give Tasia the order. I'm going to give her a command, and then she's going to do it. All right, Tasia? All right, first command. Now, some of you, I appreciate, may have trouble with some of these. All right? Don't feel you've got to try it. It might be dangerous for some. Right, stand on one leg, Tasia. Oh, very good, very good. Some good effort. Good, okay. Right, put your leg down again. Stand on two legs. Right, hands above your head. Hands down. Okay, jump up and down on the spot. Very good. Impressive. Good. Okay, now I want you to fly up there to that ceiling fan, and I want you to touch it. Need that one there. Can you see that one there? Can you do that? No? No, even though if I tell you to do it. Go on, Tasia, go on. Fly up there. Well, it's just good effort. Okay, no one else willing to do that? Okay, thank you. Sit down. Well, that's one you can do. Thank you, Tasia. It was really helpful. I know you can't do that. I've got a prize for you at the end, right? Well, well done, Tasia. So I was giving her some commands. I was saying to do things, and there was one at the end that was, well, unfair, really, wasn't it? It was impossible. It was an impossible command. I've got some people coming out to read for me now, Jenny and Steve. And while we're reading this, I want you to think about the command that Jesus gave to Lazarus. It was an impossible command.
From John chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been buried 4 days before. Bethany was less than 3 kilometres from Jerusalem, and many Judeans had come to see Martha and Mary to comfort them over their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask him for." "Your brother will rise to life," Jesus told her. "I know," she replied, "that he will rise to life on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And all those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she answered. "I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world."
Deeply moved, once more Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance. "Take the stone away," Jesus ordered. Martha, the dead man's sister, answered, "There will be a bad smell, Lord. He's been buried 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?" They took the stone away. Jesus looked up and said, "I thank you, Father, that you listened to me. I know that you always listen to me, but I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me." After he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" He came out, his hands and feet wrapped in grave clothes and with a cloth round his face. "Untie him," Jesus told them, "and let him go."
Thank you. Wow, what a story. And what a strange thing to say to Lazarus, because Lazarus was dead. In this picture, here's Jesus going into the cave, and the two sisters, one can hardly bear to look in, and above is what Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out." And he came out. That's incredible. Jesus looking right into the face of death and saying, "Lazarus, come to me." And Lazarus does. Telling a dead person to come back to life. Just because he said it, Lazarus did. That is incredible. Absolutely incredible. It's incredible power. So when Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out," and he does, it shows his power. He could defeat the last enemy, death. So that's my first challenge for us today. Have we thought that Jesus has this power? Have we realized that Jesus has power over death? Of course, it wasn't the first time Jesus had done this. He told a little girl to rise up. He told a young man to rise up, but this time lots and lots of people saw it, and it's a very important moment. It's a moment where Jesus then talks about what he's done as well, and this is what he says. He says to Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live even though they die." Mary said, "I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Well, I don't know if any of you like watching hospital dramas, but I love watching them. And the bit I like the best in ER is when they go clear and then they shock them and they come back to life. It's absolutely great on a medical drama. It wouldn't be so great if you were there. But it, quite often in Doctor House, which I like to watch, or ER, that's what happens. Somebody has just died and they get a big shock and it brings them back to life again. So we can bring people back to life. Human beings can do that, just about, if the person has just died. But that's the sad thing about death, isn't it? The sad thing about death is after a little while, all the blood isn't going around your body anymore and you just die and you're gone. And we can't do anything to bring that person back and they go to heaven. But Jesus, 4 days later, 4 days later, he brought Lazarus back to life again. So, bringing Lazarus back to life again shows who Jesus really was. Because human beings, we can bring back somebody if we had electric shock treatment, maybe. But we can't do what Jesus did. Only God has power to bring people back. Bring people back, to have power over life and death. And that's what Mary realized. Mary says, you are the Son of God. You're the Son of God. Only God could do this. Amazingly, she said that before Jesus did it. She said it before he brought Lazarus back from the grave. But she said that, and that's what she realized. And so that's my second challenge from the story. Have we thought and realized that Jesus is the Son of God? That he is the one that the world was waiting for. Okay, so far, so good. Everyone's happy about Lazarus. He's come back to life again. Now, we're going to look at another picture. And you've got 10 seconds to look at this picture, and then we're going to have a competition, right? 10 seconds. I'm going to count them. Okay, here's the quiz. How confident are you? All right. How many faces can you see? Could you see behind Jesus? Oh, go on. Have a go.
Three.
Anyone want to change that? Okay, that's our answer then. How many skulls were lying around? Did you see anyone see a skull? Think there were two?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you could be right. We'll see. What colour was the woman's dress? This is obviously vital.
Red.
Good. How many men in hats were in the gateway? What do you reckon? Men in hats. Come on. How many? Just say.
Five.
Okay. No, you're wrong. Here's the answers. I've got them here, right? Okay. Now, two faces behind Jesus. Top of somebody's head. A red dress. One skull. Maybe a bit of a jawbone. I don't know. I'm not medical. And three men in hats. Or four. There's a fourth hat lurking behind there. So the men in hats, we're going to read about them. They don't look very happy, those men in hats. Who might they be and why aren't they so pleased with Jesus? This one, Lazarus, looks, he's in the ground in this one. It's a funny one, isn't it? There's a church in the background. It's all very interesting. But anyway, the men in hats, who are they? Let's see, next slide. Some of the people who'd come to visit Mary returned to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So they met and said, what shall we do? Look at all the miracles this man is performing. If we let him go on this way, everyone will believe in him. From that day on, the Jewish authorities made plans to kill Jesus. Well, I think the people in the hats were the leaders of the people, the leaders of the time, and they didn't like what Jesus had done. They didn't care that Lazarus had come back from the grave and that everyone was happy. They thought, oh, hang on. Jesus is upsetting the way everything had worked. If people believed in Jesus, then maybe they wouldn't trust the leaders so much. Maybe it would upset the Romans and they'd lose control of the people. Maybe if people stopped being afraid of death, anything could happen. People would start following Jesus, doing what he said. The world could be turned upside down. People forgiving each other. People being merciful. People loving their enemies. Everything could change. So the men in hats decided that Jesus had to go. And there we are. So raising Lazarus showed his enemies Jesus was a serious threat to this power. And that is how we forward wind to Holy Week and to Palm Sunday. And here we are. Well, so Jesus arrives in Jerusalem. Lots of people are happy to see him. They're waving flags. He's conquered death. He's God's son. And some other people say, no, thank you, Jesus. They reject him. He challenges their power they've got, the way they've always done things. He's a bit of a threat. By the end of the week, on Good Friday, it looks like those people have won. It looks like the men in hats have managed to conquer Jesus because he's dead and he's in a grave and he's not around anymore. But if they had remembered what happened with Lazarus, that Jesus had power over death, that Jesus is God's son, they might have had a clue to what would happen on Easter Sunday, this time next week when we come together and we're celebrating Jesus' resurrection. That's my final Easter challenge. We've got this week now, Easter week, and there's a great thing happening that I think we're going to hear about in the notices in this church. It's called an Easter Labyrinth. And my challenge to you is to come down to the Easter Labyrinth, have a look around it, have a look at Jesus again, a different way, and think about that. Will we realise as we go around the labyrinth Jesus' power? Will we realise that he's God's son? Will we turn away and say, no, thanks, it's not for me. It's too challenging. Will we be like Mary who saw who Jesus was? Okay, let's pray. Father, when we read this story, we are so amazed at your power. We're amazed that you could bring Lazarus back from the dead. And we're even more amazed that with all that power, you went to the cross. You didn't use it to save yourself. We pray that you'll help us this week to think about Jesus, think about what he did for us, and to learn more about him, and to open ourselves up to your power. Amen.